Welcome back, everyone, to the Hikes Peak podcast. Thank you for coming back to the mountain. For this week, we're going to try and hit some bullseyes with breakout player predictions. I've picked one player from each position for football and one player from each team for basketball that I think can become superstars next season. And of course, stick around until the end of our hike for this week's sneak peek at the transfer portal team of the week. No time to waste, big episode this week. Let's dive right in. Starting on the gridiron, let's talk about my breakout player predictions for football. Starting at quarterback, I've got redshirt freshman Micah Alejado, who will be the starting quarterback for Hawaii more than likely. Only got to start one game last year, but that was quite the performance against New Mexico. Threw for 469 yards, 5 touchdowns, and also ran for 50 yards as well. Hawaii also brings back the top wide receiver duo in the Mountain West with Nick Senekal and Pofele Ashlock coming back. And overall, nothing makes the run and shoot offense more lethal than a quarterback that can extend plays. Alejado showed quickness and a great deep ball in the season finale against New Mexico, and if he can win the starting job outright, look out for the Rainbow Warriors offense in 2025. Next, for running back, I'm going with Bryson Donaldson, the sophomore for Fresno State. As a true freshman, he was the second running back in the rotation and still put up 460 yards, averaged 6 yards a carry. So if you give this guy a bigger workload, I really think he's going to become a star for the Bulldogs. He's going to share snaps with leading rusher Elijah Gilliam, who is back, as well as Arizona transfer Speedy Luke, but neither of those guys have the size and burst combination that Donaldson possesses. He's a really unique talent, and I really think that he could have a similar rise to a guy like Savion Redd, who kind of just showed up out of nowhere on the all-conference teams. At wide receiver, I'm going with junior Matthew Coleman from San Jose State. This was a pretty easy selection for me because of a couple of ingredients. First off, the top three wide receivers for San Jose State are gone. Nick Nash and Justin Lockhart are off to the NFL, and their third best receiver, Trayshon Hurry, transferred to Louisville. So they did bring in 4 quality transfers to help out the room, but none of those guys are incumbents, and Matthew Coleman is going to be the head man in this room. Last year had 400 receiving yards, 2 touchdowns, really started to break out as a great slot option for Walker Egitt and the Spartans offense. The former Texas A&M transfer could really have a big season if he ends up being the Spartans' number one target. Moving over to tight end, I'm going with Brock Lane, the graduate from Utah State. First off, the Aggies lost 100% of their wide receiver production from last year, which is obviously going to hurt. And the only other pass catcher besides Brock Lane that is returning is Josh Sturzer, who started after Lane went down about halfway through the year. But Brock Lane really showed out in those 7 games he played, close to 200 receiving yards and 2 touchdowns, which are pretty much the same stats that Sturzer put up across a full season. Therefore, my money is on Brock Lane to break out as one of the best tight ends in the Mountain West in 2025. Now into the trenches, let's go over the offensive linemen. I'm going with Aaron Karras, the offensive tackle for Colorado State. He was a consistent rotation lineman for the Rams in 2023, but then became a full-time starter at right tackle for them in 2024, started all 13 games, had the 5th best PFF grade of any tackle in the conference, and ended up earning honorable mention honors for his efforts. And now Karras is the top offensive lineman in the room, with the other 4 offensive line spots projecting to be new starters. He's going to have to lead those guys into battle, but based on the fact that he beat out several transfers to start at right tackle in 2024 and was then the only sophomore offensive lineman to be an honorable mention, I think Colorado State will be just fine in the trenches with Karras leading the charge. Moving to the defensive side of the ball, let's start off with defensive end, and I'm going with redshirt junior Justin Stearns from San Jose State. With veteran Sawane Tawoya gone, the remaining Spartans will have to ramp up their production if they want to crash the college football playoff party. My pick to lead that charge is Justin Stearns, who had a great first season as a starter, 28 tackles, 4 tackles for loss, and 2 sacks, all career highs. With another year of development under his belt, Stearns could become the next in the long line of dominant San Jose State defensive ends. Sliding inside to defensive tackle, I'm going with Jaden Williams, the sophomore from Wyoming. When you lose 5 of your top D linemen to the portal or graduation, it's tough to keep things moving in the right direction. Good thing the most productive Cowboy from that position group is still here. Let's talk about Jaden Williams. No, not the defensive tackle Jaden Williams that transferred to Kentucky. Jaden with a Y Williams led all Wyoming Wyoming defensive tackles with 28 stops as a sophomore, along with 2 tackles for loss. This was his first full year as a starter, and with the room being much less crowded than it was in 2024, don't be surprised if Williams shows up on the All-Mountain West team at season's end. Now moving over to linebacker, one of my favorite players that I've talked about a couple times already, and that's Marcel McDuffie, the senior from UNLV. Jackson Woodard became a Las Vegas legend for his Defensive Player of the Year campaign last year, but he's now in the NFL. Who's going to fill that void? Since it's UNLV, you were probably thinking it was going to be a highly touted transfer, but it isn't this time. McDuffie didn't even sign under Barry Odom, and yet he's now entering his fourth year on the strip. He posted 89 tackles in 2023, but dealt with the injury bug for much of the Rebels' magical 2024 season. He still had 46 tackles and 8 tackles for loss, but those numbers are under McDuffie's standards. Fully healthy, with 4 years of experience under his wing, this is his time to shine. Surrounded by former 4 and 5 stars, it will be Marcel McDuffie who rises above as UNLV's defensive centerpiece, in my opinion. And finally, for the secondary, my breakout pick at corner is Elijah Palmer, the junior from Hawaii. If this is a name you haven't heard before, it isn't your fault, but it sure as heck isn't Palmer's either. He had 37 tackles and 2 picks as a true freshman, and followed that up with another 5 tackles for loss, interception, and 5 deflections in his sophomore year. He's a Mountain West veteran already, and he's only 3 years removed from high school. Also, it's crazy to think that a player that hits as hard and makes as many plays as he does is only 5 feet 8 inches tall. After 2 stellar seasons, I see 2025 as Palmer's launching pad into the household name territory in this conference. And our final football stop is safety, and we're going with senior Dale Sean Staley from San Diego State. I had my doubts about Staley contributing right away for the Aztecs when he transferred in from Northern Iowa, but contribute he did. Across 11 games last year, he racked up 61 tackles, third most on the team, and really stood out as a long DB with the instincts and quickness to make plays anywhere on the field. His role will increase in 2025, and since he didn't skip a beat jumping from the FCS to the FBS, why would it be a problem for him to jump from solid starter to all-conference performer? Doesn't sound too crazy to me. Switching gears to the hardwood, let's talk about the breakout player for each Mountain West basketball team. Starting with Air Force, I'm going with sophomore point guard Kyle Marshall. He currently projects to be the Falcons' starting point guard next year. He could slide over to the 2, but more than likely it'll help them the most if he's at point guard. He's a really crafty scorer at 6'4" and uses his length and quickness to make pull-ups, tough lay-ins, as well as posters. He only averaged 1.7 assists last year, but wasn't the primary ball handler much. He could end up staying on the wing and starting at the 2, but it would leave a real hole at point guard for Air Force to have a fighting chance this year. Their best chance might be with Marshall running the show. And Air Force doesn't have the luxury of the transfer portal, obviously, but getting their top freshman to withdraw and come back is the most positive portal story they've had yet. With a starting spot guaranteed, Kyle Marshall will take over for veteran leader Ethan Taylor as the Falcons' lead man out of the backcourt. Next for Boise State, I'm going with young small forward Pearson Carmichael. Currently, he projects as the starting power forward for the Broncos or their sixth man. It depends on if Georgetown transfer Drew Fielder starts at the 4 or the 5, but regardless, Pearson Carmichael already showed an impressively deep bag last season, proving he can score from behind the arc, in the post, or at the rim. Doesn't have any real weaknesses. The only question is how big of a jump is the true sophomore capable of right now, and someone will have to replace the production that Tyson Dagenhart has brought for the last few years. And if Carmichael can become a bit more of a physical force on both ends of the floor, he could fulfill that role for Boise State. Traveling to Fort Collins for Colorado State, I'm going with Illinois transfer Kerry Booth, the junior power forward, projects to either start at the 4 or be the backup. It's hard to tell right now with Augustinus Kiudalis from VMI also being brought in. The former 4-star is still raw as a prospect, but he has a wildly unique skill set. Despite being 6'10", Kerry Booth looks most comfortable when he's playing on the wing or behind the arc, at least on offense. His ability to rise above any defender for a jump shot would be enough of a reason to take a chance on him, but he also has elite athleticism and good instincts on the defensive end. Like I said, it's hard to predict Booth's exact role with Kiudalis in the mix, but if he can get anywhere close to his ceiling as a player, he'll be an all-conference selection. The best version of Kerry Booth would be simply unguardable. Next, for Fresno State, I'm going with sophomore small forward David Douglas Jr. He only only played 6 games last season after fracturing his knee, but he really did have a phenomenal 2023 as a true freshman in Green Bay. Coming back from a major knee injury is easier said than done, but Douglas Jr. had plenty of flashes as a freshman at Green Bay to warrant his placement in this episode. The former Horizon League Rookie of the Year is a phenomenal spot-up three-point shooter and is great at moving without the ball. His quickness and footwork to get open jumped off of the screen for me, so I hope he still has that kind of explosiveness after his injury. Regardless, Douglas will be starting for the Bulldogs game one if he's ready. With him and Zaion Collins being the only returners from last season who saw the floor, there won't be any chance to ease him back into action. Fingers crossed that he can regain his form from 2023. If so, it would be a huge help for Vance Wahlberg and Fresno State. Next up for Nevada, I'm going with junior point guard Tyler Rollison. Rollison is as shifty as they come, with the ability to send a defender flying with a single dribble move. He has a nice looking jump shot as well and doesn't shy away from contact at the rim, none the wiser to his 6 foot flat stature. Odds are that he won't be the starting point guard right away, with Steve Alford going out and getting all-conference vet Tayshaun Comer from Evansville, but Rollison will be the first man off the bench at the very least. He'll be great in that role for sure, but if he gets to run the offense for a full 30 games, he could be just as productive as Kobe Sanders was last season. Now for New Mexico, of course, nobody returning to this roster from last season, all transfers, so I'm going with Tajavis Miller from North Dakota State. The senior shooting guard is my 34th ranked transfer overall, 9th among shooting guards, and he is a truly lethal scorer. He has a lightning quick release and zero fear. Miller has a career three-point percentage of 37%. He can make you pay off of the catch or on his own, using his creativity and grit to get open or shoot over defenders. With every player in a Lobo uniform being a newcomer, offense will be the most difficult thing to get going consistently. That's why Miller has the chance to be a star in Albuquerque, but overall, the volume of shots that Miller will be getting is twice as much as they were in North Dakota State, and if his efficiency and play style remains the same, he could average 15 points per game easily. Next up for San Diego State, I'm going with junior point guard BJ Davis. After averaging 1.2 points per game as a freshman, Davis certainly wasn't expected to start all 31 games for the Aztecs, but that's exactly what he did. Alongside all-conference guard Nick Boyd, who since transferred to Wisconsin, Davis put up 9 points per game as a secondary ball handler and primary kickout option. He shot nearly 36% from deep on over 100 attempts while also making a name for himself on the defensive side of the ball. Davis never gives up on a play, constantly finds open space without the ball, and has no problem finishing through traffic. The only real concern is if Davis can be a true point guard for San Diego State. He only put up 1.2 assists per game last year, while on the other hand, Brian Dutcher brought in Sean Newman Jr. from Louisiana Tech, who just so happened to have finished 3rd in the country in assists last year with 7.9 per game. Either Davis will remain as the starting shooting guard and Newman will run the show, or Davis will break out as one of the best point guards on the West Coast. The choice is in Coach Dutcher's hands. Moving across town to San Jose State, I'm going with senior power forward Yefet Mundi, the Iona transfer, as my breakout pick. Currently, I have him starting at the 4 for them, but he could end up starting at the 5 if Tim Miles wants to go smaller. Also have him as my 38th ranked transfer overall. We've brought up the Spartans' need for a paint presence before on our hikes, and Coach Tim Miles' main solution was freshman Yefet Mundi. He put up 10 points and 7 rebounds in his first season at the Division I level, and that's while only starting half of Iona's games. He doesn't have a jump shot to speak of, but he is as dangerous of a rim runner as they come. Mundi is a point guard's best friend, setting mean screens and flying through the air to catch lobs. His post game isn't the most refined, but he can get by most defenders after a move or two. Besides, who needs the post game when you can basically just jump over them? Really excited to see how this guy is utilized in San Jose, because Mundi has all of the makings of a walking highlight reel. Now sliding over to UNLV, another team with a massive amount of transfer pickups, so I had to go with a newcomer here, but I'm going to go with a very talented one in that, and that's Laji Dembele, the junior power forward from Iowa. Overall, my 17th ranked transfer, top 5 among power forwards. Josh Pastner, like I said, put together a transfer class for the ages, so I really could have gone with a bunch of players for this spot, but I did decide to go with Dembele, who started 21 games for the Hawkeyes last year, and while not crazy productive, I think he has all of the makings of an all-conference talent. For starters, at 6'8", 255 pounds, while shooting the lights out from 3, that's obviously good, but he also moves much better than anyone his size should, and that goes for offense and defense. He's a monster on the offensive glass and should have plenty of putback dunks for the Rebels. Dembele also can handle the rock a bit, flashing a nice post game and some decent handles on fast breaks. It's hard to say who's going to be given priority offensively for UNLV, with four of their eight transfers averaging north of 10 points per game last year, but Dembele is too talented to pass up. I truly believe if he doesn't become a star for the Rebels this year, he'll become a star for another team in 2026. Next up for Utah State, I'm going with graduate point guard Drake Allen, one of the most fascinating journeys in the Mountain West. After bouncing from one Utah school to the next, or to be exact, Allen has finally found his home in Logan. While statistically he took a step back from the previous year at Utah Valley, he battled through injuries to lead the team with 3.8 assists per game. Even with coach Jared Calhoun bringing in Colby King, a proven point guard with experience at three high major schools, I think Allen is going to be the heart and soul of this team. He isn't the most efficient jump shooter, but he makes up for it and then some with his relentless hustle, facilitating, and attacking of the paint. If he can stay healthy, his final year in the college ranks should be his best by a wide margin. And finally, for Wyoming, I'm going with sophomore shooting guard Jared Harris transferring in from Memphis. This right here is my dark horse pick, with Harris having almost no available film from his 16 games at Memphis, but I have really high hopes for the former four-star from Texas. The 6'2" guard is a true slasher, possessing elite speed and athleticism. He's going to poster a few of our taller Mountain West members, and if he can add a consistent jumper to the mix, look out. He currently projects as the starting shooting guard for the Cowboys, and keep in mind, last year, Obi Ogbeam came out of nowhere to become one of the top scorers in the country, parlaying it into a spot on Baylor's roster, and I believe Harris can have a similarly meteoric rise. It's just as likely he barely plays and transfers again next year, as it's so hard to predict these players that just don't have a lot of track record in the college ranks, but Sundance Wicks is going to get someone on the all-conference team. I just have to figure out who. Last but not least, here is your sneak peek of this week's transfer portal team of the week. This week's theme will be the all-production team for football, picking only the newcomers with the most tread on their tires. The full lineup will be out on Wednesday, June 11th, so if it's past that date when you're listening, go and check out all the players, but right now, I'll let you in on one transfer who stuck out to me, and that's linebacker Jackson Eck, who, yes, is the son of now New Mexico head coach Jason Eck. There's no nepotism here, though, as last year at Idaho, Eck II had a whopping 134 tackles. Just ridiculous. That is it for this week's episode of the Hikes Peak Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Week zero will be here before you know it, and the Mountain has no shortage of stories coming your way. Also, our Mountain West College Basketball Transfer Tracker is out now, so you can find a link to the constantly updating list of portal entries in the description of your podcast app. Follow us on Twitter at MWC Connection and find all of your Mountain West news at MWCConnection.com. If you enjoyed the episode, rate the show 5 stars on whatever platform you're listening on, or leave us a review on iTunes. Nothing helps the show out more than that, so any ratings would be greatly appreciated. Thank you again for listening. It's such a blessing to share this platform with you all. Until next time, I'm Jack Thompson, and thank you for coming back to the Mountain.